Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast. And I heard a joke that isn't really very funny, but I'll go ahead and tell it anyway because I tell jokes that aren't funny. I heard about it. Do you know what you get when you cross a parrot with a tiger? I think I'm doing this right. Do you know what you get when you cross a parrot with a tiger? Well, I don't really know, but when it talks, you better listen. And one of the things that we're looking at tonight when we look at Revelation chapter 13, we see two beasts. Some people are kind of surprised at that. Of course, the first one that we see represents the Antichrist. The second one that we see, we don't know a lot about. And certainly when we do study on Revelation, people wonder, I thought there was just the Antichrist and Satan. You know, what's this other one? But there appears to be one that comes out of the land. This says, we're going to read here in just a minute, the land could be referring to Israel. It could be a prophet or someone that is coming out of Israel. Again, it's a false prophet, a false teacher that works in coordination because, one of the ways that we identify these people is it says they came from the dragon. The dragon is controlling them. And we know already, we've talked about this, that the dragon is Satan. And so the dragon certainly is controlling this false beast that comes out of the land. He's a false teacher, a false prophet, and controlled by Satan. So there's two of them. But the first one that we're going to see here, it begins in verse 1. And before I read that, again, let's back up just a little bit and look at the timeline. I think we have some lesson aids there on the back table that we've done every week for our study in Revelation. Every week we've had a teaching aid back there for us to assist us. So I think those are still back there. But in one of those, I think it was week 8. And by the way, I'm behind a couple weeks again, so I'll try to get caught up next week. But I think it was week 8 that I had a timeline on the bottom. And if we could just review that timeline for a second, just to make sure that where we're at. So we are here where we are today, continuing to be in the church age. This is the time of the church. This is the time of the grace. But we know that at some point in time, in the near future, Jesus Christ is coming back. And when Jesus Christ comes back, that is going to usher in a time of tribulation. Now, during this time of tribulation, there will be somebody who rises up, this Antichrist. But this person will be, he'll really be somebody very dynamic, somebody very charismatic, have a great personality, be a wonderful leader, and will need this. The world will need somebody like him, it will appear at the time, because you've got all these people that have disappeared. The world seems to be in chaos at first. And so this person comes onto the scene, and guess what his message is? He says, you know what? We are going to bring everything together. It's all right, guys. Just calm down. Everything's going to be fine. And he will appear to be a great leader. And everything will go well for the first about 3.5 years. And then that's when we begin to see these judgments. And we've talked about these seals that were released, all of these things that are going to begin to take place that are just almost unimaginable. I mean, we could see them because we've seen them in the world, you know, but we can see it on CNN. We can actually see this happening, but it's just unimaginable how bad the world's going to actually become. So this will be the second 3.5 years, and then there'll be a war that will end all this time, and that war is going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus will set his foot on that battlefield as that's going on. And that will end that war, and that will usher in, again, this time of where we're going to get to, and I can't wait to talk about this. We're going to talk about that 1,000 years of Jesus reigning on earth. And at the end of that, there's going to be the new heaven, the great white throne judgment, the new heaven, the new earth, and we'll begin eternity. So that's really the timeline that we're looking at here. So let's look at Revelation chapter 13, and let's look at this first beast. This first beast here, it says, "And I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads. Now, the significance of the horns and heads indicates that this is a political figure, that this is a political figure of great power, a governmental figure. That's what this is indicating here. And it says they come up out of the sea. Now, don't be confused here that this is going to be some sea creature that comes up on the beach. That's not what it's talking about here. The sea that it's talking about is the chaos, as everything that's been going on, all this chaos, and the sea of chaos that's been happening, all of a sudden this figure will arise on the scene, this Antichrist. And the beast I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. Let me pause right there for a second, because we see the leopard, the bear, and the lion. That may sound vaguely familiar to you because we've heard it before in prophecy. If you turn in your Bibles back to, you don't have to do this tonight, but if you were to turn it back to Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 7 talked about these three things as well. Now, what was Daniel talking about when he talked about the leopard, the bear, and the lion? He was talking about three empires. He was talking about three countries. And this is what Revelation is saying. And John is seeing three countries coming back on the scene that the Antichrist is going to use for his power to control the world. The interesting thing, this is kind of cool. If you do get a chance to look this up, again, I think it's Daniel chapter 7, verses 3 through 6. The interesting thing, when Daniel refers to these, guess what Daniel does? Daniel reverses the order. Like, for example, in Daniel, it says there's a lion, there's a bear, and there's a leopard. But John is saying there's a leopard and a bear and a lion. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, the significance of that is Daniel was looking forward in history, and John is looking back in history. And that is why the order that they're in. Now, what are these countries? Well, they're speculating. You know, I mean, maybe you've heard and done a study in Revelation before, and they say, well, the bear has got to be Russia, right? That's who the bear represents. We really don't know that. Actually, the empires that it's referring to, when we talk about leopard, the beast I saw was like a leopard. That is talking about the Greek Empire, or the coming again of the Greek Empire. The bear is the Persian Empire. And one of the reasons why we know that, the Persian Empire was very slow, but it was efficient. And the lion is the Roman Empire. So we know at the very end that this we'll see the beginning again of the Roman Empire. The dragon gave the beast his power, his throne, and great authority. One of its heads appeared to be fatally wounded, but its fatal wound was healed. Let me just say this for a moment. I mentioned this to you last week, and I want to point some things out here. One of the things that is very characteristic, and you've probably heard me say this before, one of the things that's characteristic about the Antichrist and anything to do with Satan is this. Satan is going to try to be like God. All through the book of Revelation, we see that Satan tries to mirror God. Everything that he does, he's got an antichrist. He's got one that he can live in, you know, and do his will in, just like God had Jesus Christ. You know, each and every time we see here, we see that Satan is always trying to do and mirror what God has done. So it's very interesting here that we see that here's this Antichrist that receives a fatal wound, and guess what? This fatal wound he doesn't resurrect from, but this fatal wound he revives from. Now, who does that sound very similar to? Well, that sounds very similar to Jesus Christ, except for the fact he doesn't resurrect from it, because he's not exactly like God, but he tries to be. Now that is going to get people's attention, as you can expect. And there's been all kinds of speculation. You probably have your own opinions and ideas tonight about who is that person? Who is that person that's going to get shot, receive a fatal wound, and then all of a sudden come back from that? We don't know, you know. But we know that it certainly would get somebody's attention. I mean, I'm not saying it's John F. Kennedy. I'm not. But if all of a sudden John F. Kennedy appeared on the scene and said, you know what, I've been in a deep freeze for all these past years. They've had me in a deep freeze until they could revive me again. And all of a sudden, John F. Kennedy walks on the political stage tomorrow. That would get people's attention, would it not? And this is going to be something that's going to get people's attention. I don't think it's John F. Kennedy Jr. I really don't. But it is going to be somebody like that, that we're going to see this and we're going to witness this and we're going to go, man, how in the world did that take place? And again, it's just Satan. There's another thing I want us to see here before we move on. If you turn over with me to verse 14. Verse 14 says this. It says, it deceives those who live on the earth because of the signs that it is permitted to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who live on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet live. Now, again, this is the second one. This is not the Antichrist, but this is the second one. Verse 15 says, it was permitted to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could both speak and cause whoever would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And it makes everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, the beast's name, or the number of its name. Verse 18 says, this calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, because it is the number of a person. It is number 666. So this beast, this second beast that comes onto the scene, it is going to have the power. This false prophet, this false teacher, is going to have the power over commerce. And we've seen this, you know, and people talk about this for the past 10 to 15 years. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about the possibility that could exist for us to begin to have a mark on our hand. I don't know if you've been to last year. Lisa and I went to Universal Studios. We took the kids and went to Universal Studios. I'm not saying Universal Studios is of Satan, but I'm saying this. I'm saying one of the things they did when we walked in was they stamped our hand. They stamped our hand with this permanent ink that wouldn't sweat off. And so everywhere we went, we would put our hand underneath this black light, and it would show up the code that we had used to pay for this. So it's not too difficult to understand, is it, that at some point in time in the future, I mean, I went to Target today. When I went to Target today and I got my Starbucks, I went over and got some mints. And guess what? When I wanted to buy it, I just put my card in that little slot. It gives that ding, 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 you know, it reads it, and it paid for it. It's not too difficult to understand, is it, that some point in time in the future, the possibility could exist that they're going to say, you know what, let's do away with driver's license numbers. Let's do away with Social Security numbers. Let's do away with credit cards. We don't need any of that. If we just had one single number that identified everybody with all these other numbers, wouldn't it be great if we could put it on their hand or put it on their forehead? That way, when you walk into Target, all you have to do is be scanned on your forehead or put your hand underneath the black light and it be scanned. And that is how we are going to do commerce in the future. So it's not too difficult to understand, is it, that how we've talked about this since we started the study in Revelation, how this could happen tomorrow. How that would we really be surprised? This is CNN headline news. It really is. But the number that's used here is the number 666. Now, what's the significance of the number 666? Well, I'm going to go ahead and end with this. This is, this it says, is the number of man. Remember when we started the study in Revelation, we talked about gematria. And gematria is the study of numbers. It's very significant in Hebrew. It's very significant in the Bible. When you look at numbers and see what the numbers represent, well, there's a whole study to numbers, and it's very fascinating. For instance, the number 7 we've talked about before. The number 7 is the perfect number. And why is it the perfect number? Because it combines the number 3, which is the number of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the number 4, which is the number of God's creation. 4 directions, 4 seasons, 4. The number 4 represents God's creation. So you combine those numbers, and you've got the perfect number of God's creation and God Himself, 7. Well, guess what the number 6 is? The number 6 is of us. Why are we the number 6? Why are we represented by the number 6? because we fall short. In 6 days, God created everything. In 6 days, the number six is our number because it's just short of the number seven. So 666 is the magnified number of falling short. And that is Satan represented. Again, tries to be like God in everything, but just continues to fall short. And so so that's what we see out of Revelation chapter 13. You have two. You have the Antichrist, you have the beast, and you have again this similarity that Satan tries to have with God. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 13, let me come back to it. I don't think I even had a chance to read this. Beginning with verse 4, it says, "They worshiped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war against it?' The beast was given a mouth to utter boast and blasphemies. It was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It began to speak blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his dwelling, those who dwell in heaven." At this point in time in Revelation chapter 13, we are seeing what Satan's purpose has been since the beginning. Since Satan fell, what has Satan wanted? What has he desired more than anything else? To be worshipped. To be worshipped. In Revelation chapter 13, we are seeing that. We are seeing that take place. Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.